Hello, this is David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center, welcoming you to Doers of the Word. This program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God so that you can live in victory in your life. Open your heart and mind now as I share the uncompromised Word with you today. Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you on the radio broadcast. We are continuing to share with you on the subject of overcoming, and we're talking about overcoming temptation. We pointed out there's three different types of temptation. God tests man with His Word in order to bless him. Man tests God when he draws back from the Word through unbelief or rebellion, stubbornness, pride, yielding to the flesh or sin. And he limits God. He hinders God from accomplishing His will and from man entering into the promised land that He has for him. The third type, which we're talking about, is Satan testing man. And we've seen the fact that Satan tests man in order to get the Word out of you. The purpose of the temptation is to steal, to kill, and destroy. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's his purpose. And how's he going to do it? He's going to do it by taking the Word out of your heart. We saw Luke 8:12, where the devil comes to take the Word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And we see that when you receive the Word, if you receive it with joy, if you don't have root in yourself, which means you're a hearer and a doer consistently and stabilized and committed to stand on it and continue in it, it said, for a while believe, but in time of temptation they fall away. And it's easy to believe the Word when we first receive it. We get excited about it. We see the promise. But the question is, are you going to stand firm? Are you going to continue in the Word in the time of temptation? In the time of temptation, if you're not a continual hearer and a doer of the Word, committed to stand upon it and not waver or deviate from it, then you will fall away. And this is the work of the devil, to try to get the Word out of your heart so it does not produce fruit in you. Also, we saw the purpose of temptation is to try your faith to stop it from producing. We saw this over in James 1, where it says, the trying of your faith works patience when you fall into diverse temptations. What's the temptation doing? It's trying your faith. In 1 Peter 1:6, the Bible says, through the manifold temptations, knowing that the trial of your faith, it's the trial of your faith, which is more precious than of gold that perisheth. Your faith is more precious. The trial is trying to stop your faith from producing. Though it, your faith, is tried with fire, the enemy's coming to stop it. It's to be found at the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, or the revealing of the power of God through Jesus Christ. At His revelation, He's going to set you free and deliver you from the enemy's attack coming against you. So the purpose is to be destructive. Now, how does Satan do this? The temptation involves the Word of God that you're acting upon. He wants you to get you off the Word. And he wants you not to think on what the Word says. He doesn't want you to speak the Word. He doesn't want you to continue doing what the Word says. He'll try to use anything he can. He does all kinds of wiles and deception and tricks. That's why we can't be ignorant of the devil's devices. The Bible says there about how he comes to try to take that Word out of your heart, and he'll use any means. He'll use people. He'll use circumstances. He'll come against you with thoughts, coming to try to divert your attention off the Word, because the devil knows the Word has the power of God within itself. It's the seed that produces after its own kind. And when it's in your heart, it's going to produce. That's why he's got to get your eyes off the Word. If you get your eyes off the Word, you will not see the situation as God sees it. Instead, you'll see it as Satan wants you to see it, which is after the senses. He wants you to look at things and see things and look how they seem and look how they appear, so that you will react in the flesh according to the senses instead of according to the Word of God. Of course, the battleground with the enemy is in the mind, because he's working in your mind. He tries to cloud the issue, tries to get you into doubt, get you into confusion, get you into wavering, get you into wondering, anything that he can do to get you off the Word of God. Now remember, God does not tempt anybody with evil. God's tests are with the Word in order to bless us. God never tempts anyone with evil. And we saw this over in James chapter 1, where we saw the fact that the Bible says, "Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." In the context, it's talking about tempting with evil. He never brings a temptation with evil. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The devil uses the lust of the flesh, strong desire to do our own thing, and if we get enticed, which means drawn into a contradiction or caught in a trap of not choosing the way of the Word. See, this contradiction is concerning doing what the Word says. If he can get you to allow the area of the lust of the flesh or follow the way of what you want instead of the Word, then that lust will conceive. And if that lust conceives, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. This is why we've got to walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You walk in the Spirit when you walk by the Word of God. Praise God. So we've got to realize this enemy is coming at you. And this test, it's not an end, it's a means to an end. It's a trick. It's an intermediate step of deception. And the devil is coming to try to get something, look big to the senses, to make sense to you. But it's hidden, it's disguised of what the real purpose is. And the real purpose is to cause you to compromise so that he can stop the promise of God from coming to pass in your life. Praise God. Now let's look at some examples. He wants to get you into the senses. In John chapter 11, remember when Jesus was going there to raise Lazarus from the dead? And he said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days." Martha was appealing to the natural. Jesus is coming to raise him from the dead. Martha wanted him to think about the fact, and even smell the fact that he was stinking, the fact that he was dead. Jesus refused to even acknowledge that, because she was moved by the senses, while Jesus was moved by what he was doing in the realm of the Spirit, and he was taking dominion over that spirit of death, and he was going to loose him and command him to come forth and be raised from the dead. Praise God. But this was a temptation that the devil was trying to work through Martha to appeal to the senses. These are the kind of things that the devil will do to you. Look at this. Look how this seems. Look how you feel. Anything to get you off the Word of God. There's another temptation, Mark chapter 5, verse 22. There was one of the rulers of the synagogue. His name was Jairus by name. He came to Jesus, and he was seeking Jesus to come and heal his daughter. He said, "My daughter lies at the point of death." He said, "I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Well, Jesus went with him, and many people followed him, and he was on his way. And then in verse 35 of Mark 5, "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead." They were reporting the natural circumstance. And then here comes the temptation after that. "Why troublest thou the master any further?" What was said? The report of the natural, and then the statement saying, "Give up," essentially. "Thy daughter's dead, here's the natural. Why trouble thou the master any further?" Well, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." You have to understand that the temptations from the devil are going to cause you to not believe. They're going to cause you to draw back, and fear will try to grip you. Fear that the promise won't come to pass. Fear that it's hopeless. And that's exactly what was happening here. The daughter had died, yet Jesus had said that he was on his way. He was going to go and to heal her. He was on his way to do this. Well, praise God, when Jesus is going to accomplish something, it's going to get done. And praise God, even though this natural circumstance had occurred where the daughter was dead, still Jesus was on the way, and she was going to be raised up. But the real temptation came, "Why trouble the master any further?" That's what the devil tries to get you to think. Don't trouble him anymore. It's hopeless. Give up. Don't listen to that lie. Jesus dealt with it immediately. "Be not afraid, only believe." Only believe. Well, they continued on. He did not submit to that fear. He continued to believe, and what happened? His daughter was raised from the dead and was made whole. Here's another example of a temptation over in Matthew chapter 14. in verse 25 and following. Here's where Jesus was walking on the sea, and the disciples saw him walking on the sea. And when Jesus approached, spoke to them after they were crying out for fear, he said, "Be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid." Well, Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And that speaks of him walking in the supernatural. It was a real fact that happened. At the same time, it speaks of us walking in the realm of the Spirit above the things of the natural. Then it says in verse 30, "When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me." When he saw, all of a sudden, he was moved by what he saw. He had his eyes on Jesus. He's walking on the water. Then he saw the wind boisterous. He was moved by his senses. You've got to watch what you see. If you see, feel, look at things, look at the way they seem in the natural and start being moved by that, it will cause you to sink. It'll cause you to not walk in the Spirit any longer. He saw the wind boisterous. He was afraid and beginning to sink. You can tell that's a spiritual principle, because here, if you just suddenly, the water doesn't hold you up, you'll just plop right down in the water. But beginning to sink shows that what happens when you let fear get a hold of you. But praise God, he had the sense enough to look to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord is always there to save us. If you have yielded to temptation by looking at the circumstances, by what the devil's doing, and you've let fear come in, you need to immediately look to the Lord. You see you're beginning to sink in your faith, look to the Lord. He will lift you up, he will deliver you, and set you free. Of course, Jesus immediately stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said to him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Doubt is giving place to the devil's temptation. Anytime you doubt, anytime you waver, anytime you faint, anytime you give up, anytime you deviate from the ways of the Word of God, anytime you go contrary to the Word, you have given place to the temptations of the devil. We've all got to learn this, because we've got to learn to walk by faith and speak by faith and take hold of the promises with our faith, and then we'll get the victory and see that promise come to pass in our life. Well, we're going to stop for today. We do have a 4-tape series on this subject. If you'd like to get it, you can send it in for $2 each, so it would be $8. And write me, David Middleton, 23 Morse Road, Columbus, Ohio, 43214, and we'll get it out to you. We'll see you in the next broadcast. God bless you.